for here, taking you at your word, Lord, worshiping you, praising you, giving you all the honor, praise for this day today, Father. I thank you for fresh revelation today. I thank you for supernatural miracles taking place today, Lord God, in your church today, in your people today, Lord God. We just give you all the glory, praise, and the honor today, expecting your word to come forth with signs following, Lord. Father, I thank you that you follow the believer with signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. At the preaching of your word, in the mighty name of Jesus, that name that's above every name, in heaven and in earth, that name Jesus that is printed on our hearts, that gives us the power over every principality, that gives us the power over every sickness and disease, that gives us the power to tread on serpents and demons. Father, I thank you that there's great power in the church that's been made available by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you that it's so real today to your people. That this isn't just another day at church. This is the day you created, fashioned, and designed for us to live and dwell in. That you created us for such a time as this, Lord. To live in this realm, in this generation, to take authority, to stand, and to fight the good fight of faith. Father, I thank you that we're not alone in our battle. The battle is the Lord's. But we stand in the place that you've designated and designed specifically for us, with the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, to fight and to stand, to be victorious and to overcome. Lord, we don't take this time lightly this morning. This is a time of edification and exhortation, a time to be built up and strengthened in the presence of Almighty God. I thank you for a holy reverence this morning for who you are, Lord. I thank you that as we surrender and submit ourselves underneath your headship, that we are connected and strengthened, that every single need is met, that we are fully furnished with all that you intended for us to have. And we declare that now. And if you believe that prayer, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. You can put us online. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, it's here. There's freedom. We sang about freedom. We talked about freedom. And when that song came on, "Take You at Your Word," I'm like, I'm going to take everything God's Word says for me. Amen. And when you do that and you grab a hold of that, not that I have arrived, but I got enough that's going to get me in trouble. I got enough that's going to get me in trouble. To stand in places that I shouldn't stand, speak into situations that most people won't speak into. It is too late to turn. It's too late to back down, church. Amen. You take God at His word, the word has the power. Amen. The word has power. And when you take God at His word, that power brings you freedom. Amen. And if you're not free in an area, you're not taking Him at His word in that area. Amen. If there is a binding, you're not free. There's a difference between a freedom and a flow and being bound and stuck. And we all know the difference. In any area, if there is not freedom, there's not a flow. Something is dammed up, it's bound up. And you can look at any situation in your life. Maybe it's your thought pattern. Maybe your thoughts are bound up and you're not freely thinking and freely confessing. Well, you got to take God at his word and bring that thought into captivity. Amen. Take control of that thing. Anybody awake today? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to get after it. We're already. When you get into God's presence, you don't have to wait for anybody else. I'm telling you, there's so many times I come down here and I'm like, I'm ready to go. And I'm getting through the worship set. We got to sing some songs. But I'll tell you, at the drop of a hat, you're ready to go. You take God at his word and you're believing God, you're already there before you get there. You hear me, church? When you take God at his word, faith is turned on and faith sees it before you can naturally see it. So I see myself preaching. I see myself victorious. I see myself overcoming. And I'm claiming that for myself, but you have to claim it. You have to see yourself. When you take God at his word, you see yourself in the word, and you see yourself with the promise of what the word says before you ever see it. That's faith of a believer. Amen. That's the church. The church is overcoming. Jesus, I see Jesus coming back for me, and he hadn't come back yet. But I know he's coming back, and I'm living every day knowing he's coming back. And it puts a reverence in me to be serious about every day, not take a day lightly, because that could be the day. But I'm seeing myself going to heaven. I see myself dancing on the streets of gold. I see that. I don't see myself in the struggle of the situation, even though I have struggles. Amen. You've got to see yourself already there. See yourself victorious. See yourself healed. See yourself over a situation that is going through your thoughts like, oh, I'm not good enough. That's not what the word says. I'm taking God at his word. I'm good enough. I'm more than able to take the land. Amen. Hallelujah. And so are you. I'm not sharing this just to give you my testimony. I'm sharing this to empower your faith to say you can be in the same place. Amen. And let's run together. Let's run this race together. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're gonna do communion. Because I'll tell you, if anything can stir somebody, it's communing with your Heavenly Father. Amen. It's remembering what Jesus did at the cross. And the offering's right in the same flow of remembering what the Lord has done. And, you know, communion is such a powerful thing. And I want you to turn to John 6, verse 47. Amen. You say, I thought communion was at the end. Communion can be wherever a heart is ready for it. Amen. You don't have to wait for anything to take communion. If you're having a bad day, grab some juice, grab some crackers, sanctify it, get before God, and get on your face and just remember what he's done for you, and your day will turn around. Amen. Your day will turn around. You say, do you have to get juice and crackers? No, you don't have to. You can literally sanctify your heart and change the situation of your day by remembering what Jesus did. You say, I'm gonna apply the blood of Jesus to this situation, and I'm gonna get the victory over this. I'm gonna confess Jesus' broken body and his resurrection over my life, and I'm gonna receive my healing for today. Amen. That's communing with God. But here we're gonna do it corporately, amen. And those listening online as well. Hopefully you made it to John 6, verse 47, I believe. Yes. John 6, 47. I'm reading out a New Living Translation. It says, I tell you the truth. Man, Jesus said that. I tell you the truth. So you have the truth, tell him the truth. Man, you can't get much better than that. You have the very one that is truth, that is love, saying, I tell you the truth. Isn't that something? Jesus ought to be able to talk without having to say, I tell you the truth. He is truth. Anytime Jesus speaks, anytime the Holy Spirit speaks, it's truth. Okay, here we go. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Jesus, take him at his word. The truth is speaking the truth. You believe on Jesus, you have eternal life. You don't have to question your salvation. Hey, that's right, brother. My assistant pastor knows he's saved. Yeah, praise God. Yeah. Verse 48, yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. That's not real exciting, is it? But it's the truth. Verse 50, anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I will offer, so the world may live, is my flesh. So, what is he saying there? What he's saying there is, if you eat the bread of life, the spiritual manna from heaven, you'll never die. So just like your physical body needs physical bread, nourishment to feed it, your spirit man needs spiritual bread to keep it alive and sustain it. That's what taking communion does. It sustains your spirit man and gets your spirit in line with what God's word is. So when you feed on Jesus, you are literally nourishing your spirit man. Every time you feed on the word, every time you feed on Jesus' word, every time you worship him, every time you praise him, you're feeding on God and your spirit man is being nourished. Yeah. So when you're not feeding your spirit man and you're feeding your flesh only, you're only getting nourished in the natural. But when you feed on Jesus, you are spiritually getting nourished. Notice what it says there. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven. So there is a heavenly bread. Truth. You say, well, I don't understand. You're seeing it. You're trying to see it in the natural. You got to eat the spiritual bread. You got to eat God's word. I know this is a spiritually discerned matter here, because they go on and they ask the question in verse 52. The people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us this flesh to eat? They ask. So they're literally thinking they got to chop up Jesus and eat him. All right, that's what the natural says. But the spiritual is his word. It's from heaven. It's God's word spoken to you is what feeds your spirit, man. So that song said, I'll take you at your word. When you believe God's word, you're feeding on the manna from heaven. That's what it means. So the more you feed on God's word and you stay in his presence, you're feeding your spirit, man. And you know people, because the gospel Paul tells us that they perceive that they've been with Jesus. What is that? You can literally tell when people have been with Jesus or not. Why? Because they are feeding on manna from heaven. How do you tell? What's the fruit of someone that's been feeding on Jesus? Their confession is positive. Their joy is full. Their fear, they have a reverence for God. They control their vessel. Amen. They keep their thoughts in order. That's all these things are feeding on manna from heaven. It's not allowing your flesh to control your spirit, man. It's putting the things of the flesh in submission to your spirit. That's what feeding your spirit, man, does. It builds the spirit above your flesh, so your emotions and your flesh are kept in check. So when someone says, how do you know? What's the fruit of somebody that's feeding on Jesus? Being led by the Spirit and be totally submitted to the Spirit of God. I know this is exciting stuff. Amen. But you can see it on people. You'll know. You'll know in my messages whether I spent time with Jesus or whether I just tried to pull something offline. I've never done that, so here we go. I'm just telling you, you know when they pray, you know they've been with Jesus or not. Whether they're praying out of their spirit or whether they're praying out of their flesh, whether they're speaking faith or they're speaking fear. When you talk to someone and they say, but you don't understand, they're putting their eyes on themselves and not on the word. But when they're going through something, they say, you know, I'm going through this, but the Lord is my helper. He's going to bring me to the other side. You start speaking what you want to see instead of what you feel. This is what communing with God does. This is feeding on manna from heaven. Verse 53, oh, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Apparently, they couldn't figure this out. Man's ways does not figure out spiritual things. Spirit connects with spirit. All right, your flesh will not understand it. Your intellect will not understand it. I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot enter eternal life within you cannot have eternal life within you. This is the way to eternal life, is to eat manna from heaven and drink his blood. You think that is the nastiest, most grotesque thing? It's your spirit doing it. It's your spirit doing it. You have to receive internally, eat internally what you want for eternity. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like your physical. What do you do? You don't slap a steak on your arm and it nourishes your body. As funny as that sounds, that's what people think. They think they can just go to church and just all of a sudden they got what they need. It's on the outside. No, no. What do you have to do with food naturally to nourish your body? You got to take it in, chew it, digest it, and your body is sustained by what you put in. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Spiritually, same thing. You got to take it in, you got to chew it, you got to meditate on it. Meditation is literally digestion of the spiritual things. Come on, this is good stuff. When you get that on the inside, and as soon as your spirit gets it, then your whole body is nourished by it. Yeah. All right? So come into church only, or doing some good deed just to say you checked the mark, that's like putting a chunk of meat on your arm and saying your body's going to be sustained. You got to spend time in the presence of God, chewing on his word, meditating it, getting it on the inside, because it starts on the inside to get power on the outside. People want the power on the outside, but they're not taking the time to be nourished on the inside. God does not work that way. I don't care how big your church is. I don't care whatever you want to say in the natural. It's not going to work. It has to be time with God personally. There's no other way. There's no other way. My family is not sustained if I eat all the groceries. Very fact. If I eat everything in the freezer and in the cupboard, which I do a great job at it, they are not going to be sustained. They need to take it in themselves. Just same thing spiritually. You younger people, you cannot live on your parents' faith. You have to sustain yourself. You have to eat the manna for yourself. Faith starts where the will of God is known. Amen. So wherever the will of God is known, wherever you take God at his word, that's where you're going to be sustained. And every area that you're not taking God at his word is not going to be sustained. It's going to be shaken. And it's going to be anemic. And it's going to be hurting because it's not sustained by the bread of life. Come on, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. We must ingest Jesus on the inside. Moving on, verse 54, but anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. So the blood of Jesus gives us what we need when we're thirsty. Amen. And the body of Jesus gives us what we need for food. Okay? You need both. You need Jesus' blood and you need Jesus' body. You can live on liquid for a little while, but you gotta eat some food to get nourishment. Same thing. You need the blood and you need his body. A lot of people talk about the blood only. That's great. You need it. Without it, sin has power over you. This world has power over you. You won't get to heaven without the blood. But don't forget the body. Don't forget the body, because just like your physical body, it can live on liquid for like 3 days, and then things start shutting down. Same thing, if you wonder, if you skip feeding on God and drinking from the fountain of life for 3 days, your spirit man starts drying. Maybe none of you have ever, you guys have never missed a day in the presence of God. But I'm telling you, just how your natural body works with natural things, your spirit man works the same way. So the limitation will cause decrease in your faith, and it'll harden your heart, and you'll start doing things you ought not to do when your spirit man is not built up. Okay, this isn't my message today, but I'm just sharing some truth with you. Amen. Anybody like truth? Amen. 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 Verse 57. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. So, what I want you to see out of this is Jesus is the bread of life. Amen. He is the true bread of life that you have to feed on. And as we receive communion, and we digest this cracker or this element, you need to put your faith attached to that. It's not the cracker itself that's sustaining you. It's the belief behind what it represents. And when you receive that, you are going to receive the bread of life. And it's going to sustain you till Jesus comes back. I don't mean sustain you, this is the last time you're going to do it. I mean the remembrance and looking at what Jesus did for you and keeping that on the forefront of your heart and your mind is what's going to sustain you. Amen. That's why we must keep remembering what Jesus did for us every day. So our mind is fixed on him. So when the battle comes and the persecution comes and the struggle comes and the trial comes, we know where we stand. We know we have the life of heaven on the inside of us. If you don't do this on a regular basis, when the battle comes, you don't have your armor on to handle the battle. This truly is the fact of living the victorious life. Knowing you're saved, knowing you're going to heaven, and you live every day like heaven's today. You live every day expecting Jesus to return. Not just saying, oh, it's coming close. No, every day is a reverence for God. Jesus, you could be coming back before this service is over. Am I where I need to be? Am I doing what I need to be doing? Amen. Am I feeding on what I need to be feeding on? Are my eyes up? Is my faith released? Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you would come. Hallelujah. Those listening online, hopefully you found your elements. I'm going to have the ushers come up. We'll go ahead and I guess the easiest way is to form a line like we normally do, front to back. Go ahead and come up, receive your elements. I'm going to keep talking, front row first. Go ahead, you can stand and start. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good. The body of Christ. Paul said, do this in remembrance of me. Paul said it, but he was talking about Jesus. Let me rephrase that. Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. He was at the Last Supper when he said this. The last time he was with all the disciples together. Do in remembrance of me. The power of remembrance, the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe what was spoken is, is forming truth in the inside of your spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Don't take this lightly. Don't take this lightly. This literally is us releasing our faith and remembering exactly what Jesus did for each one of us and for all humanity. All of humanity changed the day that Jesus was resurrected. Even time changed. The spiritual realm changed. Everything that could be shaken was shaken at the resurrection. And I believe today, when we receive these elements, the Lord is going to shake areas in your life that need to be shaken. Hallelujah. And He's going to build in you the kingdom of heaven. Thoughts you've had are going to be shaken to their very core, to their very root, and be uprooted in your life. There's power in communion. There's power in the blood. Hallelujah. There's healing. There's deliverance. Oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can keep the music going. It's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're in all of you, Lord. Whew. The presence of God is here. Faith is here. God is pleased. This isn't a time of worry. This is a time of victory. Victory. Jesus said, "This is my body that was broken for you. Do in remembrance of me." Jesus came and died, gave his life so we could have life, so we could have healing, so we could go and live the life that he has called us to live. There's power made available through his body. Father, I'm so thankful for your healing power, delivering power. Any infirmity on your body, it's not yours. It's not yours. Anybody with pain in their body, it's not yours. Limitation in your body, it's not yours. I declare the healing power of God in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your healing power that's found in your flesh that was broken. So we are made whole. Yes. Hallelujah. Just break that wafer and receive it. We bless it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our spirit is coming alive to the truth of the healing power of God. Nourish every part of our body, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. This cup represents His blood that was shed. You must know what His blood stands for. For the remission and the washing away of sin. There is no sin that Jesus did not pay for. There is no sin that He did not overcome. So when you receive this cup, you can know that hell was split wide open when Jesus shed His blood. That every principality and power was broken by the blood of Jesus. Every sin, past, present, and future, was paid for by what's in the cup that you're holding. And when you drink that, you can know that no power of sin has power over you any longer. You no longer are under the influence or the power of sin or this world. When you can believe God and trust that Jesus' shed blood paid it all. Jesus, you paid it all. The very nature of sin is broken by the blood of Jesus. Even the very root that causes sin is broke as you receive the blood. Expect a transformation. Expect a shift. Expect a blessing as you receive this blood. Father, I thank you now in Jesus' name. I thank you in Jesus' name that your blood is going to wash every part of our lives. That no sin is held. Break in Jesus' name. Father, we do this in remembrance of your Son. We thank you. And as we bless this cup and we receive the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we receive victory. And we receive all that heaven has to offer. And we can know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that we are born again and we are alive unto God. And sin has no power over us any longer. Thank you, Lord, that every day from this day forward, we are thinking and speaking heaven. Lord, bless this cup. In Jesus' name, receive it now. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Hallelujah. Just keep the music playing, though. It's I see it. I see it. As that juice is running down your throat into your stomach. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God is delivering his people. Jesus. Thank you for your healing, spirit, soul, and body, Lord. Spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're good. Glory to God. Man, I feel like I could go home. Really? Amen. I want you to always remember what Christ has done for you. And if you're not sure what Christ has done for you, I want you to come talk to me. Literally, I want you to come talk to me. Say, Pastor. Say whatever. David, whatever. Hey, you. Show me. Give me information about what Christ has done for me. Because till you know, you can't receive what you don't know. You got to know what he's done. You got to know what he's paid for. The ability for me to stand up here is based off of my knowing. If I didn't know what Christ did for me, I couldn't stand up here. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you really hear what I'm saying? Your knowing allows you to stand in places that you never thought you could stand. Your knowing allows you to stand against the enemy when everybody else thought you're not good enough. And he's told you you're not good enough. It gives you great power to be able to stand in places you never thought possible. That's what knowing does. And that's what Jesus paid for. You got to know it. You got to know it. Amen. You got to know it. Deuteronomy 8:18. Transition. Everybody say transition. Transition. Amen. Transition is good. Because you're transitioning from glory to glory. Amen. Transition is good. Growth is good. That's transition. But I want to share something with you that is also very good. And that's called remembering. The ability to remember is good. And I'll be honest with you. There's times where, I'm not going to confess it, but there's times where I didn't remember as good as I should have remembered. But when you can remember what Jesus did for you, whew, don't forget it. Amen. You maybe forgot where you put your keys or your wallet or somebody's name, but never forget the name of Jesus. Because through the power of the name of Jesus, he'll bring back things to your remembrance. Amen. Amen. All the things in the natural, don't sweat it. The Lord will show you what you need to be shown. If you can remember Jesus, everything else will fall into place. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, there's an anointing on that. If you can remember the name of Jesus in every situation you'll come through. Amen. Every single one of them. Even if it's to the most minute natural things like where you put your keys. If you can bring Jesus onto the scene in every situation, every relationship, every time you go to work, Jesus, whoo, you have power with you. Remember that. Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he has confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Remember the Lord your God. Do you know remembering gives you the power of possession? That's what the Lord spoke to me this morning. The ability to remember the Lord your God gives you power to possess. When you possess something, it's in your hand. When you possess something, it's in your heart. It's not lost, is it? When you have possession of something, it's yours. And there's power in that. When I possess my keys to my vehicle, nobody else is going to take my vehicle because I possess the keys. When you possess eternity in your heart, ain't nothing going to pull it from you because you possess it. Amen. When you possess the kingdom of God, nobody can take that from you, not even hell itself. Not even Satan himself can take heaven, amen, from you if you possess it. There's power in possession. And you gotta realize something. When you forget, guess what? There is a time frame where you're not possessing it. When you lose track of your keys, you don't possess them at that time. They're yours, but you don't have possession of them. When you remember where something is, you already possess it. If I know the keys are in my car, I know they're there. I possess them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Remembering the Lord your God is probably the most powerful, I don't want to make it a definitive. One of the most powerful things as a believer is to remember. To remember what the Lord has done for you. To receive communion. There's power in that. Remember the Lord your God. For it is He who gives you the power to be successful. So success comes in your remembrance. Successfulness comes in your possessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Victory and success, thriving, prosperity come with you remembering what the Lord has done. Hey, healing comes in what you remember the Lord has done for you. You see the power in this church. Amen. This is the offering message. This is awesome. I'm offering to you one of the keys to your victory in life is the ability, the power of possession, the power to remember the Lord your God. When you remember God in every situation, you can't fail. You can't fail. Hell is not part of your vocabulary. Sickness is not part of your vocabulary. Limitation is not your debt. Poverty. Remember the Lord your God. He gives you power to be successful. Yes. You say, well, I don't have the means. You got the means. It's in the name of Jesus. You got to possess it. You got to say it's yours. Yes. You say, how's it all going to happen? See what the Lord tells you and do what He tells you to do. Yes. It's not in your ability. It's in your believing. Yes. If you believe the Lord your God, He will make you successful. Success is not in the world standard. Success is in the kingdom of God. Amen. So don't look at people around you to define whether you're successful or not. Amen. Whew. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. So, everybody wants success, right? Everybody wants to thrive. Everybody wants to prosper. Where does it come from? The Lord. So, we know where it comes from. We know we want it. So, what's the key to get it from who has it into our possession? That's our faith. That's remembering whose it is. So, if you're in a situation and you're not seeing your desired result, take finances, since this is the offering message. You're not seeing what you want. What are you focusing on? What are you remembering? What are you confessing in the situation? Remember the Lord your God. So it comes from the Lord, but it's up to us to be believing on the Lord. And that's where the separation is a lot of times. It's not that the Lord is holding back. It's not that the Lord is refusing it. It's our believing. It's our remembrance. We're not possessing it because we're not remembering that it's ours. When you forget where your keys are, and then all of a sudden you get in your car and you're like, guess what? No power because you're not possessing. Right? I can't make it any simpler. If your car doesn't turn on because your keys aren't in it, you're not possessing your keys. Yeah. You say, well, I own the car. That's great, but that car is going to sit there until you find the keys. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's going to sit there. And you may be sitting in a situation in your life, come on, in your thought patterns, because you're not possessing the victory and remembering what the Lord's done for you. Oh, go back to the car. That was easier to handle, Pastor. Every situation works the same way. God is not schizo. He doesn't say, oh, it's going to work for this person or this way for this situation. But then his law is the law. Yeah. Gravity works the same way for everybody. Yeah. All right? The higher you are, the harder you fall. All right? Right? Doesn't matter. You can take a 200-pound person like me and I fall, I'll put a print on the ground. But you can take a 100-pound person from 10 foot up and they'll put the same print on the ground because they fell farther. You understand what I'm saying? Gravity works the same way. It works. So every situation, every victory is applied the same way. By faith in Jesus. Remember the Lord your God. You say, well, this person has it, but I don't. You're looking at the person. That's your problem. Stop looking at the other person and look to God. Yes. Amen. I feel like you got what I'm saying. Amen. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant He confirmed to your ancestor. So, The power is made available from the Lord to be successful for what reason? Sometimes we're not successful in an area because our motive to get it is not biblical. It's not to fulfill God's covenant. It's to fulfill our own pocket. Or it's to fulfill what we desire and seek. Hear me. So sometimes you say, well, I remember Jesus. I love Jesus. But if your heart's not in the right place, there, here you go. There's another effect of why success is not coming to be. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just giving you the truth to say, you know what? The Lord's going to help me turn this area around. Yeah. Amen. Jesus, you paid the price for me. Jesus, you gave me the victory. Jesus, I thank you that I have your mind. Amen. And I'm going to succeed. Amen. And whatever I succeed in, you're going to get the glory. Praise God. You're going to get all the glory. It's not in my power. It's in your power. Amen. To get wealth is because of you, Lord. So when wealth comes, I give you all the glory for it. Yeah. Amen. So when you sow today, you should be sowing, thanking God he's given you that seed in your hand. Yeah. That he's given you the power to get that seed. Amen. And you're giving it back saying, Lord, I thank you. I trust you. With this seed, and I thank you. In the future, I'll have more seeds so I can trust you even more. And you're going to see the hand of God come on you. Amen. You'll see the hand of God. Some of you are getting this. You're like, yeah, I'm going to sow one of my biggest seeds because I'm expecting a big harvest. I want to see more of God. I want to see his covenant go forth in the land. Amen. I remember God. I'm believing God. And I'm sharing God with everybody I know. Amen. You do that, you're perpetually moving forward and growing spiritually, growing financially, growing the kingdom of God. It all flows together. Amen. Ushers, please come forward. Man, our ushers are busy today. Amen. Thank you, ushers, for being so kind and serving. Amen. Hallelujah. So he gives the power. Remember the Lord your God. I started out saying this, the power of possession. You got to have it in your hand for it to work. You got to know it's yours. When you don't remember, you lose power. When you don't remember, you lose power. Again, for the offering online, it shows you how to give. If you're here, it shows you envelopes. But please grab a hold of that. Ask yourself, when you're in a situation, ask yourself, what am I thinking on in this situation? What am I thinking on in this situation? When a situation arises, what am I thinking on? Even right now, when we're getting ready to receive the tithe and offering, what are you thinking on? Are you thinking on your bills? Are you thinking on God? Are you thinking with the eyes of faith? Are you thinking with fear? Are you thinking about what you don't have? Are you thinking about what Jesus has already done and provided for you? I'm stirring your faith, church, to get believing on the areas that God wants you to believe on. And it's going to kick the enemy right in the face. And the flow of heaven is going to come into your life. The windows of heaven are going to open up to you. Amen. Because you're seeing it with a different set of eyes. You're seeing it with the eyes of faith. Hallelujah. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth. There's power available right now. I could go on a whole nother message about the power in a seed. There's power available, and it's right in your hand. It's right in your hand. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Everybody ready to give? Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Serve the people. Hallelujah. Little music is always good. I mean, I can sing, but, you know. Praise God. Remember the Lord your God. He gives you the power to be successful. There's power available to be successful. Power. Power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for the power that are in these baskets, Lord. The seed sown today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. There are souls that are in the balance. There's miracles of healing that are going to spring forth from this seed. Multiplication of opportunities, wisdom, direction, discernment is in this seed. Great power to change lives, families, is in this seed. We remember you, Lord, and what you've done for us, what you paid for, to give us eternal life. And Lord, I thank you that that life lives in us, and it empowers us to live and to dwell and to prosper here in this earth, Lord. And as we release our faith and trust in your word, I thank you that it does not return void, but it goes and it does exactly what you intended it to do. So, Lord, I thank you that this seed is going to spring forth and bring a harvest, perpetual harvest, into the lives of the sower. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It seems so quiet in the house today. It's like I want to shout a little bit, stir you. Hey, stir you. Glory to God. Well, let me start here. Let me just get started. How's that sound? The title of the message today is, You're Good for Something. You're good for something. And I know where your natural head goes. It goes, well, at least I'm good for one thing. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God has a specific plan and purpose for your life that will not only bless your own personal life, but will bless the kingdom of God and bless humanity. Yeah. It's bigger. It's way bigger than your natural mind. Well, I'm glad I'm good. I came to church today, so I'm an usher, so I'm glad I'm good for something. At least I can usher, or at least I can greet, or at least I showed up for church. No, it far exceeds that. You're thinking so small. God has something very good for you, and he is using his Holy Spirit to empower you to fulfill that good thing. Amen. But before I get to that, the Lord spoke something to me that I need to share, and it came out Wednesday in prayer. But it is there's a window of opportunity, and we need to seize the moment. This is a prophetic word. Amen. I know I'm not a prophet, but the Lord will use me to give prophecy. Amen. I'm going to prophesy to you, okay? There is a window of opportunity. And I don't mean it's because of the election, but the election is an avenue or the door in which has been opened for the church to seize the moment. That's what I'm saying. So get your mind off of the election. Get your mind off of candidates, Senate. Get your mind off of the media. Everything. Don't worry about that. Was just a means to an end. You hear what I'm saying? That's the word. That there is a divine time frame that is short between now and when Jesus is coming back for the church to step over into the realm that it needs to step over in. Yeah. And you may say, well, I thought we're doing the best we can. No, this is a divine appointment. This is a set time. It's high time the Bible says, to step over. God is bringing things to it, and he used this election as a doorway for the church to do what it needs to do. That's the prophetic word that I want you to grab a hold of. Don't get into, well, I wonder what it is. What could it be? Let's try to figure that. No, just realize and grab the word that it is a divine time, amen, a set opportunity for the church to step over into realms it hadn't stepped over into. And don't look back and say, well, maybe it'll be like that awakening. Maybe it'll be like that revival. No, it's different than all of those. It has to be different because the time we're living in is different. The not only the time in regular time frame being 2024, but no, I mean the time of the church and the time of grace and the end of this whole thing. We're in a time, and it's the very end. So I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand something. This is a window of opportunity. It's an exciting time. And you may say, well, how is God going to use me in it? Guess what? That's what the message is about today. You're good for something. God created you for this time, knowing what was going to happen, knowing when Jesus is coming back. And he's like, I know the church and the people that are going to do what needs to be done at this opportune time, at this place where we are right now. God would not have put you here at this time if he knew you weren't going to accomplish it. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
You are a divine appointment, yes, for this time that we're living in.
Hallelujah.
Literally, you're a divine appointment. God fashioned you to be sown into this world at this time.
Amen.
And don't worry about the teenagers. God, they're sown at this time for the reason that they're sown into. And their faith is turned on too. Amen.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? People are like, oh, you talk to people and it just drives me nuts. But I respectfully listen to them. Amen. When they say, man, my kids, I don't know what my grandkids, it's going to be like for my grandkids. It's going to be just great when God's in their life. You understand? You can't, do not allow the situation and the circumstances to define the good thing the Lord wants to do.
That's right.
Amen. That's fear if you allow the things around you to dictate what God's doing.
Yeah.
The young babies that are around, the little ones just getting ready to be born. Where is she? I thought she was sitting there. Oh, Sunday school. Yeah, there's little ones being grown in the belly. Amen. Divine appointment. I mean divine, specific. Just like John the Baptist was a divine appointment.
Yeah.
Yay, you are your own John the Baptist for this time.
Yeah.
Preparing the way of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The church is, it's a divine appointment for the church to step up and take its place.
Yeah.
This election, do not worship the election. I'm only saying that because it's the doorway. When you go to a house, you're not in awe of the wooden door. You walk through it and then you look at the house.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what the election stands for. It's the open door. It's the open window,
yeah,
that you can get into the place.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That is what the Lord, I believe the Lord's hand was on this election for the church to do what it needs to do. Amen. And no matter what, even if it went the other way, I believe it's still a divine appointment. So it's not the election of who's in there. It's the very time frame of what's taking place.
Yeah.
And we need to seize the moment. That's what the Lord gave me. Seize the moment.
Yeah.
Amen. He gave me this word, strike when it's hot.
Yeah.
Strike when it's hot. This is a spiritual thing. Strike when it's hot. The enemy is on his heels. This is the time. Bam. Amen. If you're never gonna, you're not fighting people,
right,
but when you, if you did fight somebody, or you watch somebody else do it, the time to go after them is when they're like dazed. I mean, you get them, amen. Bad analogy, terrible analogy. Holy Spirit, give me something better, amen. But when something is available, you seize it. When I say strike when it's hot, that means if for you mechanics, if you've gotten a stubborn bolt that you cannot get out and you put everything on it you can, you put heat to it. And heat and you have to get it when it's hot, because that's when everything, all the molecules are jumping all around and not figuring out what they're doing. Guess what? When it's hot, when the Holy Ghost is on something, I'm telling you, things are jumping. That's where we're at. And I can't give a better analogy, but you can't see it with your natural eyes. But I'm telling you, you can take a boat out with ease when it is cherry red. Amen. Because the molecules are separating. That's what's happening in the realm that we're living in right now. We have to seize that moment while it's hot. If we back away now, we're not going to impact the way we need to. I'm telling you, it's time to be radical. It's time to go after it. Amen. Go after it with prayer. Go after it with preaching. Go after it with... Make this Thanksgiving your best Thanksgiving yet. Say, use me, I'll pray over the food. I'll pray over the food, then I'll pray over all of you. You don't have to share it that way, but just do it.
Come on.
Just do it. Step out. Even pray now. Say, Lord, give me the words I need for my family. Yeah. That the Holy Spirit is going to convict them and just speak to their heart, and they're going to come to know you. This is going to be, this is the time, the greatest Thanksgiving ever, where our family's going to come together, and any rifts are going to get blown out the window, and we're going to have a family time together like never before.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Believe God. You may have relatives, you're like, I haven't seen them, but I hear they're coming to Thanksgiving. Radical. Be ready. Be ready. So that's the word I had for you. Seize the moment. Window of opportunity. Step over into it. Ask the Lord what he has for you in this time.
Yeah.
Ask him. Amen. Here we go. Well, I'm glad I got that out. The church must move and seize the opportunity. Do you realize this? That the church is the only one that can offer certain things to humanity? Laying on of hands, nobody else does that. The doctor will lay a shot on you or a medicine on you, but the church has the power to lay a hand. Amen, to bring healing. Nobody else can do that. Raise the dead, cast out demons. Nobody else is going to do that but the church.
Yeah.
But the church. We have to get... Do you realize that everything that God asks us to do is us stepping out, either physically or verbally? You gotta step out. You got to seize the moment. There's times where it's like everything looked like there was no hope, and then somebody prayed.
Yeah.
Somebody stepped out.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody, John Wesley got on a horse and rode from town to town and just started preaching.
Yeah.
Somebody got out of the boat and started walking on the water.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody decided to strike the Red Sea and watch it part.
Yeah.
Somebody decided to grab up three smooth stones in a sling and slay the giant. Somebody decided, I'm going to take the promised land.
Yes.
Amen.
Woo.
Who's deciding to do that today?
Yes.
Who's going to be the one?
Yes.
Are you the one?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're the one. Faith is, I'm telling you, get it. Get it. You say, oh, you don't understand. I don't need to understand. There is no demon in hell. There is no enemy too big. There's no Goliath out there too big that the smooth stone of the name of Jesus can't slay. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to physically put armor on. Thank God we don't live in the old covenant like that. But the same power that was available then is much more living on the inside of you now.
Yes.
You got all those men and women of God of the Old Testament on the inside of you. You just have your own story. You have your own victory that you're overcoming.
Yes.
Jeez. You're good for something. Amen. And I'll tell you, what you're good for is to carry the very presence of God into this lost and dying world.
Yeah.
At the very least, that's what we're called to do. To go and preach the gospel. To go and lay hands on the sick. You're good for something. There's opportunities with your name on it. Who believes that? Who believes that there is opportunities out there all around with your name on it? Amen. If you believe that, you're going to see it. I believe today you're going to see opportunities that you never thought were available to you that your name's on there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Opportunities just all around us. Praise God. Matthew 5:13. Did you know that you're the apple of God's eye?
Yeah.
You know, when he looks at creation, He made everything, and on the sixth day, he made us, and what did he say? Very good. Yes. Very good. Nothing else he said was very good. Right. Everything was good, but you're very good.
That's right.
It's powerful. Powerful. Wait for me. Matthew 5:13. I'm coming. Matthew 5:13. You're not supposed to laugh at me. Matthew 5:13. I laugh at myself enough. Amen. Matthew 5:13. This is where this title came from. And New Living doesn't give it the right words, but that's all right. I like New Living. Verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." New King James says, "It'd be good for nothing." Good for nothing. So I decided, instead of titling it, "You're good for nothing," I'm titling it, "You're good for something." Amen. Because that's a faith statement, right? Amen. And I know that's Jesus' words, and I'm not Jesus, and I realize that. I'm not Jesus. But I want you to see something, that you are the salt of the earth. Notice what it says. You are the salt. Whether you feel like salt, whether you look like salt, you are the flavor of the earth, whether you think you are or not. Yeah. Jesus said, remember, take him at his word. Jesus said, this is the truth. Jesus does not speak untruth. Yeah. He doesn't speak lies. He doesn't speak maybes. He speaks truth. You are salt.
Yeah.
Hey, isn't it great to be salt?
Yeah.
Amen. You're salt. You are salt of the earth. So That wipes out feelings, that wipes out emotions, that wipes out everything in the natural. You are salt. And notice what it says. But what good is salt if it lost its flavor? So salt has flavor, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it does. Did you know salt is in everything? There is salt in there. All the ground has salt in it. All humanity has salt in it. All food has elements of salt in it. Just some are at different levels. But notice, you are the salt of the earth. I want you to see something, if we go on a little journey here, that salt is flavoring aspect to the earth. So salt doesn't take the place of something, it flavors something. This is key. I want you to see something. So when you put salt on your whatever, your French fries, that French fry does not become salt. That French fry is flavored from the salt. Okay? So many times people are like, well, I'm a believer. I'm going to change everything. Well, no, you're going to flavor it. You're not going to change it. Does that make sense? Okay. I just felt to say that, and I could get in great detail there. But salt gives flavor to the realm in which it's applied. So your salt in your cupboard, it's very potent and powerful in and of itself. But if it stays in the cupboard, it does no good for whatever it's meant to be on. So salt has to be applied to make something flavorful.
Yeah.
Amen. Some things need a lot of salt. Some things just a little salt. But everything needs salt. Do you know your body functions off of salt?
Yeah.
And sometimes you get too much salt. Sometimes you add too much salt. Sometimes you don't get enough salt. So I want you to realize something here, that Jesus' words here, you are the salt. You are the literal flavor of the earth. The church is the salt of the earth. That's a powerful statement. He must really believe in us. How can he really say that? And we look at our lives and we're like, well, we're good for nothing. What are we going to accomplish? Jesus already stated, by faith, you are the salt. You are the flavor of the earth. Oh, that's good. He believes in us more than we believe in ourselves. He already called us the flavor of the earth. He already has given us the ability to flavor the earth, to season it exactly the way it needs to be seasoned. He already believes that. In us, in the church, his body, he knows that we have everything we need to accomplish his Father's will on the earth. Everything. He already knows that. You are the flavor. But if you lose your flavor, it says you're good for nothing. or you will be thrown out, trampled underfoot, or worthless. That doesn't sound good, does it? So, not all of us are going to have flavor. Amen. We're going to make an impact in the area, in the realm in which we are applied. So two things here. You have to make yourself available, and then you have to apply it. That's faith, and then that's action. Here we go. Salt does nothing unless it's applied. It has to be applied. You will not flavor anything if you do not apply the salt. So if you are not believing God, speaking into a situation, and doing something concerning that situation, you will not see that flavor change in that situation. You say, well, my finances are here. Well, what are you doing as a born-again, spirit-filled believer for your finances? I know God gives you the power, but what does He give you the power to do? To be salty. He gives you the power to go and apply His principles in that area. So with your finances, what would it be to be salty in your finances? To flavor them. Tithe, give, pray, believe God. Amen. Be a good steward. All those are part of your financial realm. Amen. Be a good steward of your finances. That will give you flavor. And believe God. Apply your faith to your finances. That makes marriage, same thing. What does it mean to be flavorful in your marriage? Pray for your marriage. Believe that you have a good marriage. Communicate in your marriage. Amen. Right? Okay. Jeez. Woo. Okay. So salt changes the taste. That's so natural. What does salt do on the spiritual realm? It changes culture. Yeah. It changes nations. Yeah. That's what salt will do. Spiritual salt, the church, can change a nation. That's why the Lord spoke to me, seize the opportunity. This is the greatest time for this nation. And I know you're listening on Haiti, Africa, all those other places, but I'm speaking to our nation right now. Yeah. This is the time, church, to shake this nation. To stand, to go, and to believe God, to pray for those in leadership, to go out there and the freedoms we have in the Constitution, apply them. Yeah. Freedom of speech, freedom to assemble. Yeah. Praise God, you're actually operating in a blessing of the Lord today that most nations don't have. Yeah. The freedom to assemble in public. Yeah. You can go pray at the school under the flagpole. You can't do that in other countries. Now, we got to seize the opportunity. God's going to show you things you should be doing and need to do to flavor the nation. Because I'm telling you, if the church stands up and does what it's supposed to, this nation will prosper. It'll prosper. I believe this election was part of it. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say it, but man, the Amish, they voted. Come on. They got out there and voted. They took time, hooked up their horse, and rode and voted. Amen. Believing God. Standing on the principles and the freedoms. Amen. Why does it stop at an election? That's one time to apply salt. To flavor. That's one time. Prayer. That is adding salt to this nation. Praying for those in authority. Why do we wait for election to pray for our authority? Think about it. Why do you wait to pray for your marriage when it's struggling? Why wait for you only pray for your finances when they're bad? We should be praising God, even when they're bad. Thanking God, Lord, more than enough. I got more than enough, Lord. Somebody asked me, how you doing? I'm doing great. Amen. I'm healed. I'm whole. I'm doing awesome. All my needs are met. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. There's nothing you can say that's going to get me down. My joy is overflowing. Hallelujah. Amen. That's salt. That's salt. You're just confessing and believing and taking God at His word. Yeah. You're wondering, what are you good for? Confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior and telling the world about Him. Yes. That's what you're good for. Everybody here have a mouth. Oh, yeah, I just heard some of you operate it. Amen. If you have a mouth, if you have breath in your lungs, you are worth something. Yes. You hear me? Breath in your lungs, God has something for you. Amen. You say, well, I can't travel the world and do tent revivals. Maybe God's not calling you to season that way.
Right.
Maybe he's calling you to season at your local job.
Yeah.
Or at your local nursing home. Or at your local jail. Amen.
Yeah.
Maybe he's calling you to be a Sunday school teacher or mentor somebody. All these things are seasoning. We look at one type of seasoning, one type of salt, and say, everybody's got to be like that. God made us different to be different seasonings, different levels of salt. Amen. Let's go to Mark 16. I do want to say this, though. The election isn't a fix. Don't worship the election. It's not a fix. It's a doorway. It's a doorway. Please get that. It's a doorway. Mark 16, verse 15. Remember, you're good for something.
Amen.
This is what you're good for, if you're wondering. I'm giving you the answer. Then they told him, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will or shall be healed. Amen. So underlying all those different things, what does it start with, though? Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. See, sometimes people don't do that because they don't think it's good enough for the times that we're living in. Like people won't, it's like old fashioned to proclaim the gospel or share Jesus. They want something new and fresh. No, it doesn't work that way. God's gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation. The power. Amen. So when you release it, there's power released to change a culture, to change a nation.
Yeah.
There's something that God has placed in you, and it's your faith and your voice and your confession of the good news of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the gospel. Please see this, church. It's not motivational speaking. It's not lectures. It's not writing a book. It's hands-on ministry.
Yeah.
That's what the church needs to step into with this open door. Hands-on ministry, getting outside the four walls of the church and going and loving on people. Just loving on people, feeding them, praying with them, prophesying to them, laying hands on them, casting demons out. All that is outside the four walls of the church. This is just a celebration together. This is just a come together, get built up, get excited, and go do the work of the ministry. Go spread your salt around. Amen. I got a picture of just a truck going through the snow, and it's just flinging salt everywhere. That's our job. It's just spread the light of Jesus. Just spread the gospel everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. What does salt do? Salt melts the ice and gives traction. Man, when you preach and you share the love of Jesus, God's love never fails. It gives that person traction to see where they need to go and get to where they need to go. That's what salt does. Salt has so many things. God, the Lord's just downloading things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for divine opportunities. You are good for something. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The Lord gave me these two quotes, and if you can, write them down. Don't put my name on them and post them like all over like you're famous or anything. But I felt the Lord share them with me, and I'm sharing them with you. The greatest light is when the sun is the highest. The greatest light is when the sun is the highest. I'm sharing that with you because I want you to see something in that. Light spreads the greatest when the sun is the highest. When Jesus is the very center and the highest in your life, everything is seen by it. It transcends areas. So when the sun is coming up, it reveals itself in certain ways greater than others. But when the sun is fully up, It transcends. The greatest heat is when the sun is straight up. Spiritual. Take it on a spiritual level. The greatest light is when the sun is the highest. When Jesus is first in you, Jesus is first in what you do. When Jesus is first in you, meaning number one in you, Jesus is first in what everything you do. I wanted to share those. Remember, you're good for something. Jesus is in you because he wants to work through you. Luke 15. I just want to share a few scriptures with you. Luke 15 is talking about the prodigal son. And I just want to share this with you because I want to give you a couple little keys, a couple nuggets about how to stay, you know, staying in that place of good. Luke 15, verse 12. I just want to read 12 through 14. It says, a man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all the money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. And then it goes on and says, when he finally came to his senses, he realized what he had with his father was greater than where he was. We all know the story. What I want you to get out of this, though, is to realize to stay with the Father. When God, the good things that God has for you come from the Father. And you have to stay connected to the Father to continue in the good things. What do I mean is your salt stays flavorful when you stay with the Father. You have to stay with the source that made you salt, that gave you the flavor. If you pull away, your flavor weakens. I shared this with you because the blessing was when the Son stayed with the Father. And when he came back to the Father, the blessing was there too. So I want to tell you something. If you strayed away, you come back, you'll receive the flavor that you need. Amen. Don't lose hope. Don't take this message and say, well, I haven't been a good steward of the salt that God intended me to be. Guess what? Today's a new day. The source of the salt is still alive. It's still available. Amen. You still can make an impact. You're still good for something. Amen. Amen. You're good for many things. I'm just sharing a point with you today. Don't take the something as one thing. Take the something as the kingdom of God. You're good for the kingdom of God and to be used by God. Amen. You're good for to do great exploits for God. Tremendous exploits for God. But you must stay in the place with the Father. As you go, always go in the Spirit. Don't go in your flesh. Go in the Spirit. You must stay connected to stay full of flavor. Let me just share this. Salt has a specific flavor. When you taste salt, you know it's salt, right? Guess what? God has a specific flavor. It's called love. If you're not seasoned with love and you're not expressing love, it's not the right flavor. You're not being salt. I want you to understand that. The salt of God is love. It's love. That's what you're going to spread. That's what's going to flavor what you do. If what you're doing is not surrounded in love, it's not of God. I'm just being honest with you. I want you to see this. I want you to understand this. You may be saying, but you don't understand. You don't understand. I got to handle it this way. If it's not out of love, you're not handling it with the right hands. You're not flavoring it with the right seasoning. It has to be love. It has to be love. Luke 10:30, a couple pages over. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by him. How ridiculous can this be? Anyway, a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by the other side. What type of heart do people have? A man was beaten, stripped of everything, laid for dead, and those in ministry came by Solomon and did nothing. Verse 33, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I will pay the next time I'm here." Talk about love. Talk about being salt and seasoning. That is a perfect example. Few things I want to give you in this story. It doesn't matter what level you are in society, you can be salt. And notice the priest, the temple assistant, all those supposedly godly people passed by. But the one that had the salt was the half-breed, they called him. The Samaritan is the one that made the impact and changed the person's life. You want to know if you're good for something? I want to tell you yes. Whether you have a pulpit ministry, whether you have a social media account, whether you're whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter. Do you have love? Do you have compassion for those around you? Guess what? You're good for something. You're really going to be the salt and the light to the people around you. You are called to the people around you. That's why they're around you. You understand? If you're mad about who's around you, they're around you for a purpose. If you're mad at a family member, guess what? You may be the Samaritan to them. Come on. You may be the one specifically called by God to be the salt and the prayer person that is needed to lay hands on them and bring victory to their life. And you say, well, they done me wrong. The Samaritans were done wrong all the time. People were done wrong. Joseph, if you want to find somebody done wrong, ask Joseph. But what did he do? He ended up feeding his family at the end, giving them more than enough. Yeah. When they threw him in a pit, tried to kill him, and every other thing that he went through. What did Joseph do? He was flavor. He had the kingdom on the inside of him, and he didn't allow the natural or what other people did to dictate his flavor. Yeah. His flavor was love, and he was committed to God. Amen. See how this works? It doesn't matter your level in the natural, your salt. God's going to be speaking to some of you in such a dramatic way, it's going to take you back. What I mean by take you back, not to old times, take you back like, oh, that seems really big. Yeah. It's going to mess with your theology. It's going to mess with your physical ability. But the Lord wants to take you somewhere greater than what you can get to yourself. And He's flavored you to do that. Yeah. He's given you His Spirit and power to step over into realms you never thought possible. To do what the Samaritan did. Not only bandaged the wounds, not only said, well, here you go, this is what I have, be warm, be filled, I got to get to my meeting. No, he stopped. He bandaged him up. He put him on his transportation, his horse, his donkey, took him to the inn, not only paid the portion of getting him a room that night, gave extra to supply it. Not only that, said, I'm coming back to pay the rest of it. Yes. Come on, church. You got to realize something. If you're going to be salt to the earth, you got to go beyond what the natural's doing. You got to go beyond what man can do and believe God for supernatural increase to do supernatural exploits. Hallelujah. You can't do the supernatural if you never enter into the supernatural. If the supernatural isn't a part of your life and your prayer and your belief system, you're not going to manifest supernatural. You got to believe that you are supernatural. You got to believe that a supernatural miracle working God lives in you. And when you believe that, you can be salt to the ones around you. You can be that supernatural man of God or woman of God that lays hands on somebody or somebody dead and they rise up off of the bed. Amen. That's supernatural. That's a gift of a working of miracles, a gift of healing. Amen. That's supernatural. And when you believe that you can do it and God's done it in you, God's done things in me that I never thought possible could be done. Never thought, I could never do that. That woman with her leg growing out in the spring that I prayed for, I couldn't grow. I wasn't going to yank on her leg, try to make it longer. No, the Lord did it. Supernaturally extended her leg and her back felt better. Aligned her whole back. Supernaturally. How did it happen? But I had to believe God. I had to step out and say, let me pray for you. I had to listen to what the Spirit said and tell her to sit in a chair, stick her legs out, and visually look at what's going on to see that it was like a half inch longer than the other. And then all of a sudden to look again and they were even. How did that happen? If I just believed it but didn't activate it, that's salt in the container. Nothing ever gets flavored. No impact. Man, I want to make impact. I want people to know, hey, when David shows up, something's going to happen. Amen. When I come to church, I'm going to get something. I'm going to be impartation. I'm good for something. I'm getting something good so I can go out and give it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Mark 11, we're going to end on this scripture. Mark 11, and I asked the Lord, should I do this scripture? And he said, isn't it in my word? And I was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, unto me. Mark 11, talking about the fig tree. Let me start in verse 12. The next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree full of leaves, in full leaf, excuse me. When you read multiple translations, you build your own. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard him say it. So what did Jesus do? Jesus went over there and he cursed that fig tree. That it would never produce fruit again. Well, a tree is meant to produce fruit. Amen. Why? Because it's meant to multiply. Key number one, you're meant to multiply.
Yes.
Not yourself, but multiply the kingdom through you. But notice what I want you to see here. He didn't look at the circumstance to decide what. He was hungry. He went over there for figs, whether it was season or not. He's like, I'm going to get some figs off of this tree. But the tree had no figs. It only had leaves. I'm declaring right now, your life is not a life with just leaves.
Amen.
Your life is a life full of fruit.
Amen.
Amen. Full of goodness, full of the goodness of God.
Yes.
Notice here, excuses didn't work with Jesus. Not even the natural realm worked with Jesus. Notice what he went there and fruit was required. Fruit was required. And this is the hard part that I'm like, Lord, I don't want to share this. And the Lord's like, stop questioning me. Share it. Excuses do not work when fruit is required. God is requiring something in this opportune time. And he's not looking for just leaves. He's looking for fruit that will remain. He is looking for a flavor that's going to bring impact to a nation, impact to a culture, impact to families.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is the season for production.
Yes.
This is the season to start producing. Amen. After your own kind. What do I mean by that? Producing children of God. Discipling. This is a time for spiritual fathers to mentor younger people. Amen. Jesus was approaching to find fruit. Guess what he's doing? Jesus is approaching to find fruit. He's coming back soon. Ain't no two ways about it. There is nobody that's a prophet. There is nobody that is in theological teachings and in the Greek and in a Bible person that is not in agreement that we were in the end times. Very close to the end. There is no prophecy that is contradicting that statement.
Right.
Amen. If you want to find out agreement in the church, there's an area. There is agreement that Jesus is knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Knocking on the door. Total agreement across Christianity. Amen. You can go from church to church and they feel it. If they got the Holy Ghost, they can feel it.
Yeah.
They can feel it. You can feel it. You got the Holy Spirit. You know that you know the time is short. God is not coming back for a fig tree or a bride that isn't ready. That is not producing. Amen. This is the time for production. This is the appointed time. This is what I want you to see. It's running together. In this nation, this election, I believe is an open door for production to explode. And what I mean by kingdom production in all areas. I'm talking about church growth. I'm talking about church property. I'm talking about families being healed. Everything that is principles of the kingdom of God is moving in a rapid pace. Everything is picking up steam. Amen. There is a push, a great push. And I don't want you to get in your head and say, well, what does it look like for me? Just trust God. Ask the Lord to show you what is my part in this end time push. What is my part in this end time push? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your coworker. Don't look at other churches. Look to God. Lord, what is my position in the family for this end time push? That should be your prayer. And write down what the Lord's telling you to do. Write down what the Lord's telling you to do. Because this is the time. There's not second chances at the end of the game. You know, when it's the end of the ninth, two outs, the last batter's up with three balls and two strikes. I mean, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. We're at the end of the end. If you don't understand baseball, that's the end of the game. There's like one more pitch, and that's it. One more pitch. The only thing that keeps it is a foul ball. It's either a strike or a ball, the game's over. That's where we're at, church. And I'm not doing that to scare you. This is the most exciting time ever. Ever. And you are called to do something good. You are called to do something good. And the Lord's going to show you what that is. And I'm not just prophesying it. I know it. I know it. Every human being that loves Jesus has a part to play in this end time push.
Yeah.
This isn't some prophetic word. I know it. You are not fashioned and designed for another time except for this time. If that was the case, you would have been born back in 1400 sailing with Columbus. All right? You're here for now. You're here for now. That means you're equipped for now. That means you have the ability for this end time push. You are a part of God's army now. If you were a part of God's army later, that would have been for later. And all the great men of God and great women of God of past, they were at their appointed time. But guess what? You're a great man of God and you're a great woman of God for an appointed time, which is now, at the end of the age of Christianity here on the earth. Woo! What a wonderful time it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everybody, stand to your feet. I want you to say this after me. You listen online as well. Say this. I am... Oh, Jesus. Man, the anointing just hit me. Woo! I am made good in Him. Man, say it like you mean it. I am made good in Him.
I am created for this time.
I am fully furnished for good works. I cannot lose. I am good because Christ has made me good. I will seize the moment. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm going forward as salt to flavor this nation with the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands. Father, I thank you. that as your Spirit rests on people and stirs their heart, you can play music, please. Stirs their heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're working on the hearts of your people, Lord. Hallelujah. That we wouldn't be like the temple assistant. We wouldn't be like a priest that passes by when there's a need at hand. But Lord, I thank you for that Samaritan. I thank you for that Samaritan that may not have had it all together, that may not have looked like the best of the best or the one that could handle the situation. But Lord, they humbled themselves and they saw the need and they caught the vision of the heart of God. I pray here today that your children catch the heart of God, to see the needs around them, to see those that are hurting, those that are lost, those that are in need.